Let's pray. Can I ask you to do this? Would you raise your hands with me just as an act of worship? I don't know what your church tradition is, but I kind of think we're probably going to do this in heaven, yes? I think there's going to be cherubim, seraphim flying around with six wings, two covering their face, two their feet, and two flying. And I think we might just join with them with our hands. Maybe for a million years or something. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Just where you're standing, we don't always need songs, you know. I will sing a new song. You don't have to sing it, but just say words to Jesus. Would you just stand where you're, just where you're standing, just say something. Just give your own worship to Jesus. Don't feel frightened, please. We're going to do this forever. One day we're going to do this forever. If you don't know what else to say, just go, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. In Scripture, when the writers want to get anyone's attention, they would say something twice. Verily, verily, I say unto you. But in Scripture, when it comes to God, it's holy, holy, holy is the Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Lord, for who you are. Not just for what you've done for us, Lord, but for who you are. You're majestic in all of your ways, Lord. Jesus, we stand in this camp, Lord, not just to have a vacation, to meet up with friends, get time with family, and all of that's part of our worship. Lord, we're not just here tonight because we ought to have a service. We are here tonight because we are absolutely enthralled at your beauty. Jesus, you have not worn off on us, Lord. You are everything to us. It's still, Lord, like we heard this morning, it's still like the first kiss. It's still so precious. It's still so close. You are so real to us, Lord. And I pray for anyone, Lord, that's maybe standing right now, Lord, with a sense of, Lord, physically being on the inside here with us, but spiritually feeling on the outside. I pray, God, draw us all close to you. Make your presence, Lord, very real to us, Lord, that we would just know at this time that you are here. In the name of Jesus, amen. Again, before you sit down, turn right. It's so good just to say hi to people and especially meet people you haven't met before. Go on. Do that with three or four. Good. How's everybody doing? So can we do this? Everyone look at me. Everyone sitting in here, can you turn around and greet everyone that's out there? Give them a big round of applause. Good to see you guys. Good to see ya. And all you guys out there, can you welcome these guys in here? We want to hear you. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. That's great. How many people enjoyed Duffy this morning? Yes? Oh, so good. Absolutely brilliant. I find it quite interesting that he spent way more time actually describing those peanuts than he did his first kiss. He spent way longer in that illustration. Went into those peanuts in a long way, so you can see what's first in his life. But we're just trying to continue this theme of he restores my soul. So last night I talked about there's three of me. Isn't that right? There's three of me and there's three of you. Let's look at the scripture again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole what? Spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the way that scripture does it. It's spirit, it's soul, it's body. Let's remember that again, that the overview of it, the spirit is pneuma, is right at the core of who we are, that came, was made alive in Christ. And then we have our soul, which the Greek word is psyche there. It's our whole mind, it's our emotions and our will. And then it's soma after that, it's the body. And then we looked at regeneration. What is regeneration? This is just a quick recap. Regeneration starts with a reborn spirit. Amen? It's a supernatural work of God. And that's the only thing that we got talking about last night. So we only got one of me last night, but there's another two of me. But how many people believe it's just important to know that our spirit is now alive because of the presence of the living God inside of us? And it opens just up a whole new world of worship to Him in every single thing that we do. And this is a really important line. Because again, remember we said this, society turns around and they mess it all up and they say, start with the body, you'll feel good in your mind, and then you'll feel wonderful inside. You'll feel all free. This is the truth, everyone. It's connection before correction. I think we got that on a slide. Connection before correction. That's what God does. And can I just throw this out at the beginning, okay? Christians, we have to be absolutely committed to truth and we have to be committed to grace. Yes? And we're living in a day, and we're going to touch on this at the end when it comes to talking about body, and God loves our bodies. Look at your body right now. God loves your body. He gives you that body. He loves your body. We live in a day of a whole debate regarding sexual identity. And can I encourage you with this? Let's not start debating with people from the outside when God starts on the inside. Are there sexual answers that we should give? Are there sexual questions that we should pose? Yes, but we will never, ever bring anyone to Christ by trying to win arguments about the body. Should we teach our young people and the church about the body? Yes, but to someone that has no revelation about their spirit, is everyone hearing me here, okay? Don't hear what I'm not saying. This is really, really important. But what we want to do is before we try to change any way or anyone to our biblical belief of what the body is meant to be and how we are made in the image of God and how God made night and day and how He made the earth and how He made the ground and how He made the land and how He made the sea and how He made extremes and then He made the most wonderful extremes in the world. He made them male and He made them female. You see what God was doing in creation there, everyone? He made all these opposites, but they complemented each other and they came together. I still believe that that's God's plan for all of us, yes? But in our whole approach to a world, look at me, everyone, a world that doesn't know God, a world that is desperately lost. We can't become these armchair theologians, armchair prophets screaming at the television, getting annoyed that people are lost when we used to be profoundly lost and we would still be lost outside of the grace of Jesus Christ. Do you know what? You don't keep yourself found. I don't keep myself found. It's because of the presence of the Holy Spirit that I have hope on earth. Are you with me, everybody? And so we live in that generation and this day and this age of where we've got to believe, Lord, we're going to try and connect people to the living God, get their spirit come alive, and then we can start moving out from there. Is everyone with me? Okay, so the next big area about this is after a reborn spirit, which is an instant thing, instantaneous. And I want to encourage everyone, if you're here and you're not yet a Christian and your wife guilted you on this trip, okay, or you took the wrong turn, you thought you were going to the boardwalk and you've ended up here like in sort of like, you know, our version of heaven. I just really want to say to you that in an instant tonight, you can know what it is not to know God and suddenly know God, not to be a Christian and be a Christian, to be dead and to come alive, to be lost and to be found. And it happens like that, everyone. It just happens like that. What we're talking about here in a reborn spirit is not a 4-step program, 12-step program, come back next week's 101, 201, the 301. It's not, everyone. It's one prayer. It's one cry out to God, help me! And suddenly He rushes in. It happens. It's an event. This next one, everyone, it's a process. And I wish it was an event. You see, it's when I have a reborn spirit, then I can start working on a renewed mind. Yes? Again, I'm going to encourage everyone, it's from the strength of a connection with the living God is the only hope of transforming a mind that is full of stinking thinking. Yes? And look at me right now, everyone in this room. Your mind is your business. You're in charge. You need to take responsibility. And something has happened here, is that the Holy Spirit has come in. He has made us alive. Remember we said this? It's no more Eden, a garden somewhere towards the east. The Garden of Eden is now inside of us. It's not a temple in Jerusalem. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, he does not compartmentalize. He doesn't just stay in your spirit. He wants to be all the way through you. And he wants in your mind. He wants to play with your mind, everybody. He wants to mess with your mind. And you just can't turn around and go, well, Holy Spirit, thank you that you came into my life and you brought me the gift of salvation. And now all my sin is washed away, but I'm still in charge. No, 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 no. It's like C.S. Lewis said, I just thought that God was building a little bungalow, but actually he's building a palace. He's ripping the place apart. And where does he start, everyone? He starts in our mind. He starts in our mind. This is the truth, everyone. If thinking were easy, everyone would be doing it. Everybody would be doing it. And we all think different. It's not right. We all think different. You think it's football, but God knows it's soccer. Yes. We think different. Pepsi, Coke, yes. Yeah, and they're both killing you. And We think different about things. One of the things that I noticed that between when I moved here, it'll be 3 years next month, is that you guys all think way different on how you report on weather. Oh my goodness, California weather reporting is incredible, all right? Compared to how we reported in Ireland, we only really report the weather when it really kicks up. You guys, if there's one drop from the ceiling, okay, and it's condensation, it's not even rain, it's on the news. So I find this video, and it highlights the difference between how weather is reported in California and how it's reported in Ireland. Look at this for a second.
I'm coming to you from a very wet, very windy hotel prom.
This is what it's been like in North Hollywood this afternoon. A lot of people out with their umbrellas. And then we saw another woman used her sweater there to cover herself in the rain.
Don't make unnecessary journeys.
You may not be able to see it on the camera, but it is starting to sprinkle here.
Don't take risks on treacherous roads. And don't swim in the sea.
Well, we're seeing a little trickle, a little sprinkle here right now.
Incredibly, people have been spotted in the water. Their actions are idiotic.
And the puddles over here give you an idea of just how much rain fell overnight.
Okay, Drew, can you leave there and let you go? Thank you.
Oh, my word. Oh, wow. 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 That last girl, that's called Summer in Ireland, what she was walking in. Does anyone want to see what happens to the girl from Ireland? Do you want to see? Let's see what happened to the girl from Ireland.
Incredibly, people have been spotted in the water here in Blackrock and Salt Hill both today and yesterday.
You asked for it. You wanted to see it. I can't believe you asked for that. I wasn't even going to show it, okay? Oh my word, what sort of, I thought you people were Christians. But maybe we should take a minute and pray for, you know, she's in hospital. No, I'm only joking, okay? She survived. All right. We think about things different. Listen to this here. John Milton said this. The mind is its own place and is in itself, can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven. How many people ever read A Man's Search for Meaning? Viktor Frankl. Ever read that book? Viktor Frankl was a Jew put in a concentration camp, managed to survive. And one of his killer lines is this, that he refused to become the plaything of circumstance. That in hell itself, he said the one thing that drove him on to try and believe that one day there would be freedom was that there were some people rose above the circumstances and cared not only for their own, but even for German guards. That even in the toughest of circumstances, there was a discipline of the mind to turn around and say, in this hell, we're going to bring something of heaven into it. And I am passionate about this. Why am I passionate about this? Because last night I spoke about, guys, we have no hope outside of a divine connection to the living God. Are we all agreed on this? All right? But we don't stop there. What the Spirit does, and this is how we worship in spirit and truth. It's the Spirit that brings back to memory, this is what Jesus said to the disciples, everything that I've told you. It's the Spirit who will lead you into truth. Yes? That's the sword of the what? The Spirit that we fight with the Word of God. That's what we do. So I'm absolutely passionate about the Holy Spirit, but this is the way I was raised. I was told this here. If all you have is the Spirit of God, you'll blow up. If all you have is the Word of God, you'll dry up. But if you have an equal measure of both, you'll grow up. Yes? I'm absolutely passionate about this. The Holy Spirit will never take you anywhere outside the parameters of God's Word. He will only ever draw attention to God's Word. That's all the Holy Spirit will ever do, and cause you to focus on Jesus himself and the words of Christ, and his word is truth. He'll do this. And I'm passionate about this. I don't want just to have great moments with the presence of the Holy Spirit, let's say in a worship experience on a Sunday, and you know what? Be living a miserable, terrible life, subject to emotions and ruined on a Wednesday. Yes? I don't want to live that type of life. Peter Scazzero wrote a book, and I consider it'll be seen as a classic. It's called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And he talks about this, that some people, they say, I'm a 20-year-old Christian. He says, in actual fact, they're not a 20-year-old Christian. They're a 1-year-old Christian 20 times. They're just doing the same lap. They're doing the same lap. They're doing the same. And the writer of the Hebrews said, it's time to come off that stuff. It's time to come on to some real meat and not the milk anymore. It's time to what? It's time to mature. And there was an event that happened in our lives, which was a grace gift to us called salvation, yes? And it is the start of this incredible journey. It was the justification that leads now to our sanctification. This ongoing process, a remarkable journey where we take our bodies, take our lives, we lay them on the altar and we say, God, please, would you change us? And what I want to try and do in the next, 3 hours is in the next few moments, it's just try and take you somewhere on that journey. So we start with the Spirit. Let's jump into the mind and see what all of that's about. Romans 12, verse 2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world. How are we not conformed to the pattern of this world, the values of this world, spending money like this world spends, panicking like this world panics? How do we not do that? We are transformed by what? The absolute transformation, renewing of our mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. How many people want to know God's will for their life? I mean, it's one of the biggest questions I could ask for as a pastor. I just want to know God's will. It's not, can you tell me God's will? I just want to know God's will. This is it, everyone. This is the holy ground where you find God's will. This is the Google of God's will. It all starts with the renewing of the mind. You will be approved what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and his perfect will. So here we go. How do we experience renewal? Renewal, I believe, really does start in the area of suffering. We're going to get practical here. The renewal of the mind has to get into the area of suffering because Jesus was incredible, everyone. And he gave a prophetic word before he died, John 16, 33. And imagine Jesus giving a prophetic word. Imagine if Jesus was the speaker tonight. Wouldn't that be way better? He would still have an Irish accent, but he would be here and... He would be here, and imagine if Jesus was the speaker and he said, I just love each and every one of you, I'm committed to you, and I am not going to leave this place until I personally pray over each of you and give you a word for your future. How many people would line up and stay the night? Yeah, I think I would. I'd join the line again, get another one, yes? Well, Jesus said, I've got a word for you, disciples, and for all the disciples to come, and he simply said this, in this world you will have, and you go, say blessing, Jesus. Say blessing. Yes. Some are trying to say that he said prosperity. You will have ease. You will have happiness. You see, the Bible doesn't talk about happiness. The Bible talks about joy. Joy is not based on happenings. Happiness is based on happenings. Joy is based on a conviction that God is still good no matter what. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Jesus, no, don't say that. He says, but take heart, be of good cheer, because I have overcome this world. He says, there's something bigger going on. And I actually think that most Christians don't have a rich theology of suffering. And if we can, listen to this here, if we can get a new biblical theology of suffering, everybody, we become unbeatable. We become unbeatable. Because then when suffering comes along, we don't see it as a destination. We don't treat it as an event. We actually join in with what Paul says. Listen to this here. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. It's incredible. He said, we also glory in our sufferings. Is anyone here glorying in their sufferings? Anyone walking around this week and said, I've had it so hard and I am so blessed. My life is falling apart. Everything I do is a disaster. Would you like me to pray for you? You don't want that. Sure you don't. You want to be near that person. And this is the truth. Would it be that if Paul were alive today, and we didn't know he was the Apostle Paul, but if he was in your small group, and he turned up at your small group, and he starts this glorying in our sufferings, would it be that when he leaves the room, we go, he's a little bit over the top? Come on. Consider it pure joy, James says, when you face all types of trials. Pure joy. It's like, darling, you'll never guess what happened today. Car blew up. It's amazing what God's doing in my life. I mean, last week, my son totaled his car. Isabel sort of kind of reversed into another one. I woke up the next morning, and the water heater had just blown up. It was all over the garage floor, but we didn't have as many cars in, so that was convenient, because there were... And it was just like everything was falling apart. And I can be honest with you, my default setting in life is not glory. Glory. Get me a surfboard, and I'll ride the water in the garage. But look at this. This is what Paul says. We also glory in our sufferings because we, what? No. You see, this is it. It's back to spirit, everyone. We got a new revelation. We're not the old Andrew. You're not the old you. We got a brand new revelation as a Christian. Look at me, everyone. That suffering is not an end in itself. That when it really starts, and it does start, and the one thing that we all have in trouble... in common here is trouble. Trouble is a communist. We all get an equal measure. I might be getting more of it at the moment than you, or you might be getting more than me, but I'm going to get my turn and you're going to get your turn. You're either coming out of it, you're either going into it, going through it, or coming out of it, and it's a cycle, everyone. Aren't you glad I'm preaching tonight, okay? But we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces something. Suffering is not just this difficult thing and so annoying and just wait until it's over. No, it's the first step on a God journey of development inside of our lives. And how do we know this? Because our mind is renewed through the Word of God. Is anyone right now getting a brand new theology on suffering and it's renewing your mind? It comes from the truth of God. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance what? No, just stop right now. Perseverance. Perseverance, suffering. We live in a generation that needs to learn to persevere. We live in a generation. It used to be that our parents or grandparents, they were in the one job for life. They could stick at something. They would go at it. They went to college, chose one major. They did it. Go to college today, well, started out in this, then I tried over there, and a little bit of that on top of that. I went from art to being a doctor, and then I thought I'd be a peg, you know. I mean, you just, everything. There's something about perseverance. Where does perseverance come from? The need for perseverance is what? Suffering. Because you learn to keep going. And suffering produces perseverance. What does perseverance produce? Character. What does our nation need right now? What do you want from your politicians? What do you want from your preachers? What do you want from your kids? What do you want to model as a parent? Character. Where do you get it from? And everything we do in life is to try and stop our kids suffer. You ever notice that? We protect them from everything in case they would what? Suffer. They're airbagged. Sunscreened. Yes? A lot of it's really smart, but look at me, everybody. You're not God. I'm not God. And character brings what? Hope. It brings hope. Hope into our lives. You see, what? How are Christians different? How are Christians different? Oh, because we don't go to the pub, the bar. We don't go with wild women. We're allowed one fast car, one fast woman. I'm still waiting for the fast car. We don't do drugs. We just keep all these rules. Is that what a Christian is? Are there the people that their garage door goes up early on a Sunday? I don't know where they're going. It's weird. And they don't have golf clubs. They're going somewhere. What is it that makes Christians different? It's our theology of suffering. Because we live in the same street with people just like us, and we're going through the same trouble. And our neighbors know that we're going through trouble. But guess what, everyone? Our marriages go on. We go through sickness, physical trials in our bodies. And you know what? We keep going. And we display character in our lives. And people all around us turn around and they go, wow, there must be a God. Because we've got a renewed mind, and it's changed how we see suffering. Tomorrow night, I'm going to speak on Joseph. I mean, never was a guy like suffered like that. One of the first people ever to be human trafficked by his brothers. Oh, isn't that great? But he kept on. We came across this recently as a church, blown away by some people that have been over in China. And they're small groups of pastors, and they sign a pledge, and this is it. If you put me in prison, you are freeing me to share the gospel openly. If you put me in solitary confinement, you're giving me an opportunity to spend time in prayer and meditation on scripture. If you beat me up, you're giving me a chance to glorify God, Paul and Silas. If you take my home or my farm, you're giving me the opportunity to travel widely and spread the gospel. If you kill me, you're sending me to glory. Wow, everyone. And the one thing that we try to preserve is our religious liberty. And they're going, bring it on. It's amazing, isn't it? It's a different theology. So a renewed mind regarding the area of suffering. This one's so real for me. A renewed mind in the area of stress. How many people are stressed? Come on, let's be honest. Put your hand up if the real core of that stress is sitting beside you. Some hands went up so quick, two hands went up. When we look at the Apostle Paul, on the outside, it would have looked like the most stress-filled life in the world. 2 Corinthians for me is like the pastor's epistle. It's the book that I keep going to go, Andrew, you need to, we say in Belfast, you need to wise up. Or another phrase is, you need to wind your neck in. You need to stop complaining. You need to realize it's a high privilege to serve Jesus Christ. And things are going to be tough sometimes. And yet I've never had to face anything like he faced. And Paul was a guy that on the outside was in many stressful circumstances. And this is what we're going to talk about with Joseph tomorrow night. Listen to me, everybody. This was the secret of Joseph's life. He never let the outside on the inside. but he always flooded the outside from his inside. He just lived in a deeper place. My first pastor in Scotland that I started working with in ministry, a canny Scotsman, his name was Peter Differ Cochran. He wore a deerstalker, you know, like Sherlock Holmes, deerstalker. He's 40 years older than me and about 400 years wiser. This is what he said to me. He said, Andrew, some advice, yes. He said, only let God and your wife into your head. He said, it's holy ground. Only let God and your wife into your head. It's holy ground. Don't let anyone intrude in there. His biggest line ever was just keep your peace. Whatever happens, just keep your peace. He says, you know, people say to me, this is what he used to say. People say to me, he says, you know, I'm going to have my quiet time. I'm going to go to my quiet place for my quiet time. He said, this is what I've discovered. This is my quiet place. I don't go to my quiet place. I live from my quiet place. You see the difference, everyone? It's not semantics. Brother Lawrence said it is genuinely practicing the presence of God. Because if this is not real on a Wednesday, and if it's not real when I'm not here, if it's only real when I'm doing this here and yeah. But when I'm with Isabel, I'm with the kids, or I'm with myself, when I'm under the gun, if it's not real, everyone, what is it then? The clanging bell. That's all it is. There needs to be something that just infiltrates my life when I'm in the line in Costco and I'm looking like, move, woman. Get over there, sir. Why is this going back to Canada? This is absolutely crazy. In the daily stresses of life, Paul had a stressful, stressful life. And he writes this from an imprisoned scenario. He says, do not be anxious about. Why did he say anything? Why did Jesus say trouble? And why does he say anything? And why does he glory in suffering? Why glory? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. You don't know my kids. Well, what are you going to put in there? You don't know my husband. You don't know my cat, my dog, my neighbors, my boss. You don't know what I'm going through. Again, would we have said if Paul had been in our small group and we didn't know it was the Apostle Paul, and it was all, wow, Paul, let me take notes. If he had done the whole glory and sufferings thing, and then he said, do not be anxious about anything at all, but in everything. It's a bit over the top, that. Hyper-Christianity, that's what he's into. Hyper-Christianity. All this going to the third heaven. My husband takes me to the third hell some days. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, what? By prayer and petition. God help Andrew McCourt to become a person that gets a revelation into his mind that I am now connected through the Holy Spirit to the divine nature, everybody. I'm not like everybody else, and you're not like everybody else. We're not just waiting for heaven. Heaven has come to earth, everybody. Things are still tough. There's still lots of trouble, but when I'm going through it, I get this revelation that things are different. And the peace of God, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which what? Transcends all understanding, which is beyond our understanding. And you can't get this normally. This is why our minds need renewed. This is why when you start believing this, and normally it's women that lead the way on it and get spiritual. Can I be honest with that? Is that true? My wife's way more godly than me. Any other husband's got a wife like that? Come on, let's be honest. You better put up your hand, sir. But listen, this will be the shock when men start to think like this in a brand new way, and the next time the stress comes in, but the stress levels don't go up. Because the stress will come. But the stress levels don't go up. And your wife looks at you and just goes, but renewed mind. I can't explain what's happened, but something has happened. It transcends all understanding, and it will what? It will guard. This is what the Apostle Paul did. He's sitting there, and he's writing, and he's being chained a guard every single day because the whole guard got to hear what was going on as he was writing his Christian letters, and he's writing, or he's got a scribe, and he's dictating it, and he turns around, and which transcends all understanding, and it will what? It will what? He turns around, and he looks at his guard, and he goes, "Well, guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." And there's something that needs to be protected at the very core of all the motives of my life, because that, Solomon said, is where the issues of life come from. And if the devil just wants to pollute that, and he wants to stress that. Yes? He wants to pollute this, and he wants to stress this. And Paul says, but when we, and we always have an option, everyone. When we think we have no option, we always have an option. It's prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. Suddenly opens up a whole gateway, yes? And you're going, well, I'm a born worrier. How many people have ever said that? My mother was a worrier. Her mother worried before that. It goes way back to Eve. All the way back to Eve. Worry, worry, worry. Worry got me here. And I'm worrying that you're not worrying. Peter was a worrier. Peter was concerned. Peter denied Jesus. And then he had a massive connection with the Spirit of God. Transformed his whole life. He was put in prison. Put in prison, everyone. An angel came to rescue him and had to wake him up. Yeah, been on a self-help course. No. Okay, quickly. Can I encourage everyone to do this? What about this? What about saying we want to move from mood swings to mindsets? What if Jesus just in 2018, we allowed him to take us on a journey? Galatians chapter 3. Set your minds on things above. Where you are seated. You see, we're installed with Christ in heavenly places. You're sitting there right now, but no, you're not. In actual fact, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's what makes you different than your neighbor. Set your heart on things above, it says. We're in rhythm with Christ. We're installed with Christ. We're in rhythm with Christ. Our heart's just beating. The dance. Remember the dance that we heard? I'm not going to dance. I can do the river dance a little bit, but that's about it. And our minds, we're in tune with Christ. You see what's happening here? It's gone from mood swings. Anyone suffer from mood swings? When you're up, you're up. When you're down, you're down. Martin Luther said this: you can stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. All the thoughts. Anyone got the thoughts right now? Where are the kids? What are they doing? Who cares? We're in Mount Hermon. Thoughts are going around our head. Thoughts and 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 thoughts. Our minds are like Grand Central Station, where all these trains of thoughts leave. You ever thought about that? Trains of thought. Do you have to get on every train? My friend puts it this way. It's a beautiful picture. He said, we get on the wrong train of thought. We're coming out of Grand Central Station of the will of God. We're going on the wrong train of thought to some dark ghetto. And you ever know that you should be getting off? You're thinking, how do you get off? And you look to your right, and there's God driving a yellow cab. See you at the next stop. I'll be right there. You don't have to keep on that train of thought, that emotional train. So, we can't bring this into tomorrow night. So we got a reborn spirit that leads to a renewed mind. And then it leads to a repurposed body. A repurposed body. And this is the amazing thing. When you allow God to do this work in your life, and you go and you just say, God, I'm going to trust in a supernatural event called salvation. And Father, it's going to lead me on then to a renewed mind in this process. And it never stops. How many people know it never stops? It never stops. But what also then comes to the party, everybody, is this body, this wonderful body that God has given us. Fearfully and wonderfully made, David says, Psalm 139. And that's it, everyone. We're all weird. We're all different. Not one person in here has a perfect body. There is no such thing as a perfect body. You look convinced. There's no such thing as a perfect body. There's the body that God has given you for your time on earth. And he says, I just want you to look after that. As my priest used to look after the temple, I want you to look after your temple, and I want you to take care of it. How many people like me to stop right now and just pray and not? Because this is really important, everyone. A guy called Tommy Barnett, he pastors a church in Phoenix, incredible church there in Phoenix, and he's pastored now 50-odd years, incredible guy. And I saw him when he was 80 years old, 80 years old. And it was at Saddleback Church, and he was invited to come up and preach, and this is what he did. He was standing at the side. He ran up the steps. Ran up the steps, jumped to the stage, and he was livelier than me. And he was just bouncing all over the place. And later on in his sermon, he explained this. He said, I push weights every day. No, not big weights, just little weights every day. 80 years old, pushes weights every day. He said, you know why I do that? Oh, it's not for the image. This is really, really important. It's not for the image. He says, I just want to stay in the ministry. I love Jesus. I love sharing the good news and helping people. I just want to stay in the ministry. This is wisdom, everyone. If we take this serious, that this belongs to God and not to us, it's a process of submission. It's back to verse 1 of Romans chapter 12, where we, in view of God's great mercy and what he's did, we take our what? Bodies. And we present them as worship to God. Our very body. God said, I want you to get your body, not just on a service with your hands in the air, but all the time, get your body and present it to God. If we start to say, I want to look after this thing that God has given me that I'm accountable for, start with this. Never, ever go for image. Just go for health. It takes a whole burden off. Image doesn't work. It's back to the wrong mindset. It's a wrong mindset, everyone. What God wants to bring us into a freedom of is just health. And what is health for you might be different for me. And how I look after my temple and how you look after your temple might be two different things. I'm not going to judge you. You're not going to judge me. What we're going to do is let God just judge us and help us. Yes? Remember what I said earlier on? There's no rule book in Scripture about this, but we do have the Spirit of God, and there are occasions when the Holy Spirit will say to me, enough. Anyone with me? Enough. Sometimes my wife will say, enough. That's your third dessert. But whatever it is, but these are the simple things. And I'm not going to be the calorie Nazi here or anything right now. I'm not going to do that. Just look at me. But I'm just talking about simple things. Some of us, we're all wanting to serve God, and we're doing the spiritual thing. Oh, Lord, my spirit's alive. God, I'm worshiping you. Another CD, Spotify playlist, worship. Yeah, renew my mind. I've read my word today. But you're not going to bed. You're not sleeping. Thank you. You're not sleeping. The great John Stott said this. He said, I've discovered real spirituality. Knowing how many hours I need to sleep and getting them. Yes? Isn't that amazing? Just knowing how many hours I need to get to sleep. It's just simple stuff like this, everyone, where I turn around and every single day of my life, I just do some level of exercise without worshiping exercise. You see, because you can end up with exercise worshiping your body instead of worshiping with your body. Do you see the big difference? And what God wants to do in order to restore our soul, everybody, he wants us to come to our own physical journey with him. And this is where we can't prescribe, all right, go, we got a class in the morning, everyone, and we're all going to give a 20 of this. No, it's not like that. It's all our own journey. I'm just going to ask you here, what journey are you on physically? Because if you don't take your body somewhere, it'll take you somewhere. Is this not holy enough, everyone? Is this not? Do you know what? This is the stuff that really does shape our lives. Reality is, genetics are strong. But with the body that God has given me, I want to steward it well. And it also means not being driven, McCourt, going to go to the gym. I don't have a gym membership. Don't do anything. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and sleep. And I'm going to respect the commandment that says, take a Sabbath. And I'm going to have some rest in my life. And actually know what rest is. And not mess about with that commandment. Like I wouldn't mess about with any other commandments. Like, stop really stealing. It's like long-term borrowing. Would you accept that tonight? It's not really adultery. It was just a phone call. Would you accept it in any other commandment? Sabbath is there for us to help us rest. God stopped on that day because he was finished. We stop because we're tired, because we have to. I had the privilege of sitting 2 weeks ago with N.T. Wright for 3 hours. N.T. Wright, I would say, is the foremost authority in the New Testament on the world today. Just, I mean, the man's off his head smart. This is what he said. For Jews, the Sabbath was to time what the temple was to space. Did you get that? I'm going to say this again. For the Jews, the Sabbath was to time what the temple was to space. It was holy ground, the temple. You didn't mess about with the temple. You revered the temple, and the Jewish mind was like, the Sabbath was the temple of time. And I'm good, and I'm energetic. And cut these veins, and you'll get Red Bull. But I need to learn to travel at the speed of God. And I'm finding it slower than what I would care to go. Because he runs on grace, and sometimes I can run on drive. I can work hard, and I will work hard, and I do work hard. But I got to learn to stop. Let me be me, and let God be God. Okay? Keep going or what? Can I say one more thing? Sex. Do you want me to stop? Thank you. There's a CD. Sex, everybody. Someone said yes, please. Clearly a frustrated Baptist. And so, let me just read a verse, because this is going to... Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Just look at me here for 1 second. God loves sex. He gives sex as a gift. He went around the garden and went, giraffes, look at them, they're getting on together so good. Those elephants, look at them getting on. Rhinos, they're never going to be extended. Look at them, you know, whoa. They're all doing it. I looked at Adam and went, oh, that's not good. Because he's by himself. He's just there and walking around in the zoo all day. I mean, how many times do you go to the zoo before, like, whatever? It's not good. This is really important. What does God do to get Adam a partner? If you're single, this is great advice. He puts him asleep. You want a woman of God? Let God put you to sleep. Spiritual principles, rest. Remember we talked about rest? He put him to sleep and he brought something from him that was for him. Let God put you to rest. He brings Eve out in her birthday suit. He wakes up the next day and he ain't like the elephants or the giraffes. He had seen it all, but he went, whoa, man. That's where you get the name woman. Whoa, man. This is true. It's true. It's good theology, this. And then obviously nature takes its course. God says to him, listen to me. Go and be fruitful. Go and multiply. And it's the one commandment we've been really good at keeping. It's the one commandment we've been really good. And he lets them go, and never once did God go, what are they doing? Gabriel, have you got the pause button? Stop that. He actually went, yes. This is absolutely amazing. And what God says, that in our bodies, we are sexual beings, made as sexual beings. And always remember this, back to the previous one, a renewed mind. If you want to have a healthy sex life, go through the process, everyone. Process. The world says today, start with sex. Test drive each other. Not what the world says today. See then what you think about each other. And if you feel really good about each other. Where the Bible says, no, start with the spirit before you get into sex. Get your mind renewed so that when it comes, because this is it, the biggest sexual organ we have is between our ears. It's called a brain, in case you didn't work that out, okay? In case yours was off. Okay, the biggest sexual organ that you have is your brain. And you know what? If we allow God to renew that, then we bring our body to the party. Yes? And we're approaching sex now in a holistic place where we have rest for our soul, where our soul is now being restored, and we can come to the thing that is just thrown about today in the worst possible ways, but yet is the best possible thing. I mean, we have to agree with that. If, okay, maybe. All right, okay. But the world treats it in the worst possible way because it's never submitted to the process. Everyone, God has rebirthed your spirit. He wants to renew our minds so that he can repurpose our body and all of it for his glory. Thank you very much for listening.